And I'd like to turn your attention to the particular instruction that the Lord gave to Simon or to Peter in verse 4. Very well known words. I'm sure many sermons have been preached upon these words over the years, and I'd like to just share some things with you. Verse 4, where the Lord said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep, metaphorically. The believer is also to launch out into the deep. Now, just in case, and I don't know you all, and I don't know your hearts, there may be the unsaved. Let me just express the, I think, clear teaching of Scripture with regards to a life that isn't in union with Christ, that isn't in touch with God. Their life is a little bit like the boat that was on the shore, or practically on the shore, that was bobbing up and down there. The boat the Lord borrowed and said to Simon, to Peter, I'll call him, launch out into the deep. It's a picture, is it not, of the unregenerate, the unsaved person. Their life is lived in the shallows. There's nothing profound. There's nothing deep. Life without Christ is ultimately very shallow and very superficial. It's merely sensual, isn't it? Not spiritual, not spiritually alive. There are no spiritual functioning, no spiritual senses function until we have life in Christ. And this morning, if you're a believer, of course you know, you can rejoice that it is very different to that. You have had an exhilarating, a mind expanding, a soul enhancing experience of coming into union with Christ. Your life went out from the mere shallow, sensual, one-dimensional life. Life's lived in the mere material, the physical, the sensual. It's empty without Christ. It's devoid of deep spiritual discovery and experiences. Devoid of communion with God, real communion and friendship and closeness and devotion. Surely the world, the unsaved, miss out so much. But if you're a Christian, you'll know exactly what I'm saying, and you can say, it is so different for me. The materialist, and I just want to develop this a little bit more. It's a bit like the person, perhaps, we could imagine who has the opportunity, the offer, to go anywhere in the world, anywhere they like. Perhaps the fjords of round Norway in the boat. What an experience. Perhaps the poles, if it's cold, that's your element. Perhaps on a safari, or the islands of the Pacific, or Indian Ocean, or the mountains and the lakes and valleys of Europe, or parts of it. There you have all this potential. Indeed, you might even dive in the deepest of oceans. Imagine if that could be provided for and it's all on offer. Or you could even go into deep space to see or look in its vastness. Well, the unsaved person is like someone who has that, as it were, offered to them, experiences that are even more wonderful than those things in a relationship with the Lord. And yet, here's strangely, incomprehensibly, here's what they say. Oh, I'd just rather stay here. Forget the fjords. I'll stay in my little hovel. Oh, there's no electricity there. I've no entertainments of any kind. Everything's broken. My health's not so good. I've nothing, but you know, I'll just stay where I am. I've no games. I've no company. I've nothing. It's cold. It's damp. The house leaks. It's about to fall down. No electricity. No mod cons. But you know, I'll just stay where I am. I hope that's not you. I hope we all have, that are here this morning, have this amazing experience of knowing the Lord. And we have, in measure, launched out into the deep. It's in the depths there would be a catch. Don't stay here, Peter. Don't sit at the seashore. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. There you'll catch the fish. Look, there your soul will be thrilled, friends, believers. There you will know increasing joy and comfort and pleasure in the Lord. There you will know greater rest. There you will know more contentment in times of trial. It's in the depths. We must launch out into the deep. And I'm going to just simply develop that a little bit for the believer this morning. The Lord's instruction, Simon, launch out into the deep. Look, you're not too old to go deeper. We're not too old to go out again at the Master's command if we've had experiences that are negative and we've been frustrated. Our days are not yet spent. There's still a catch out there. There is still something to be gathered in that will bless us and bless others. Old age isn't the waiting room for the call home. Might mean the journey is shorter than what it once was when we started. But there's so much more to experience. And I want to encourage you, young or old, this morning. These men were experienced fishermen, after all. They had tried to catch fish, yet had been frustrated and had nothing. But one more time, launch out into the deep. I want to encourage the Christian to do that this morning. There is the growth in grace. There is the increase in our knowledge of the Lord Himself. Has it stopped? Is what we know of the Scripture and of the Lord Himself, things we learned in the first months of our conversion? Are we still out into the deep and going even deeper? Because the Christian life should be that. notwithstanding the difficulties that the loss of some of our sharpness mentally and mental alacrity and so forth, there's still depths. There's still development and growth. Well, a number of things then I want to bring to you. But first of all, just to labour the point, if you turn to Hebrews, and I know you'll know this particularly well, Hebrews chapter 6, where in effect the apostle was encouraging this going into the depths of God's book, of theology, of the experiences of God, experiencing Him in our service, in trial, in our prayer life, for example. But look, Hebrews 6, where the apostle says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." Now, without examining any of those things that are mentioned in the doctrines there, surely what's so obvious is Paul saying, don't stay in the shallows. Don't bob up and down, even as a believer, near the shore. The catch is out there. The fish are out there. Launch out into the deep. And then let down your nets. Figuratively then, what does that mean in itself? Well, I've mentioned some things, but let me just bring a number of other things. First of all, again, go and let down your nets. Well, we saw Peter's response, of course, or read it, to the command or the instruction. Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Well, let me just apply that as well at this particular point. Oftentimes, failure and disappointment, deep disappointment, is a prelude to some blessing. It certainly was here, wasn't it? "Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing." How frustrating. Well, how humbling for a fisherman to return to the shore with nothing. Well, sometimes we too are greatly humbled, are we not? And we are brought through particular trials, testing times, great frustration, sorrow, disappointment. But like the fishermen, because that's what they were until the Lord calls them to leave their nets and follow Him, that they would then begin to catch men, as he would tell them at the end of this conversation, they were fishermen. They had to go again and again and again. And in our service for the Lord, when we are disappointed and frustrated, we must keep going, don't we? A fisherman who depends on catch, he can't stop because he has failed. He has to launch the boat. He has to go out again. He has to keep fishing and fishing and fishing. But you know, when there is a particular testing time, when there is a particular time of sorrow and grief and disappointment, often it's a prelude to God's blessing. He has something in particular. He has a particular blessing for the individual or the church. that have reached that point where they're so crying out to Him for help and for blessing. So here is Peter. He's returned with the others. They've caught nothing. Now, Peter, don't give up. Don't be frustrated. Of course, he may have had to go out anyway as the fisherman. But now he's going to go at the Lord's instruction. And you know, we may have to tweak things slightly. Because here was the big difference this time. Peter's going out in the boat, having heard the Lord's instruction and command to do so. Launch out, Peter, and let down your net. The big difference is because the Lord has commanded it. Now, in knowing His blessing in our lives at a particular time of sorrow, frustration, disappointment, we may have to tweak things slightly. We may have to examine what we're doing or how we do it. We're certainly not going to move out of the book. Everything must be legitimate and proper and in accordance with God's Word, His revelation, principles and precepts, clear instruction. We live according to the book. So, look, Lord, what are you teaching me? What is it you want me to know? What must I keep doing? What am I to continue to do? I mentioned yesterday in our own life, and you know, preachers are certainly not exempt, and pastors, from frustrations and disappointments and sorrows, as you well know. But our own Sunday school was going downhill, and I mentioned that yesterday. And it was a time, I don't think I've been more seriously concerned at any time in the life of the little church since we started the work. Lord, what's happening? We're just hemorrhaging children. Why are they leaving? Why are those not coming back that did come? And then the Lord, as it were, showed us, well, keep going. Persevere. Isn't this what I want you to do? Don't give up. Oh, tweak something. Take your visitation work. Go on a Saturday. Go in the morning. Go when it's daylight. And of course, I was able to mention, all glory to the Lord Himself. He gave us, relative to our little work, about a 25% increase in just a few weeks. And in addition, two mothers started coming to the service. What an encouragement that was. But how frustrated and concerned and anxious we'd become. But we looked to the Lord. We prayed to Him. We asked Him for His grace and for His help. And we would wait upon Him until He would show us what to do. As it were, the instruction. Launch out into the deep. Oh, Christian, if we stay at the shallows, if we're content with what we know about the Lord, then we're going to miss out in so much. Let me bring one other aspect of the things we are to grow and deepen in. It's prayer. I know your pastor's particularly interested in prayer because unless he's changed dramatically, he always was. That was one of the things that came over from his example to us who were students back in the days of the seminary. And he prayed, and he was constantly praying. He doesn't know it. This is a confession. Maybe it's not a wise confession. But he used to carry in his pocket, I think he still does it, He'd always a little piece of note paper. And it would come out. What was that? Right, I'll write that down. We'll pray about that. And we knew about 4 or 5 a.m., whatever time he would get up at, he would be praying for that. Now, that was something I'd never thought of. That just didn't strike me. And you see, I learned from an example to pray. It's one thing we know to pray. All Christians pray. Oh yes, but you see, I've likened now what he did. I hope this isn't embarrassing to him. But Psalm 5. Let me just turn you there briefly. Launch out into the deep. Is your prayer life shallow? Is it sort of routine to the point of, well, I just get up, I haven't much time, and I can mumble a few things as I leave the house, or as I just toss myself or end of a busy day, fall into bed. Try taking that piece of note paper and write it down. We often say to people, I'll pray for you. A week later, you may remember, I have forgotten completely. Well, Psalm 5, those opening verses are all about prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Now you'll find in those first 3 verses the complete absence of presumption when it comes to pray. He does not presume for a moment that God will just hear. He begins with an appeal, give ear to my words. I believe the fall of man, and I'm not alone in this, must have taken place very quickly after creation. And the reason I do is because here the psalmist says, give ear to my words, O Lord. We are rational beings. We are made in God's image, God's likeness. Human beings, those beings made in the image of God, they are given the capacity, the faculties to arrange thoughts so they can be expressed as words. Surely if Eve had been around in the garden for any length of time, she'd have been suspicious when a snake started to speak. Now why isn't she? Because it's been so quick from creation. Surely her knowledge, and remember, she's a perfect being. Adam has specified all the animals and creatures, and Eve's been formed and brought to Adam. Man alone can speak. That was God's intention, unless you believe that the animals were all to speak. Surely after a certain amount of time, she would have realized, and this one of the things she would have realized is, unique to man is the ability to communicate rationally, intelligently to his maker. I'm excluding the angels, of course. And the psalmist says, give ear to my words, O Lord. They will be carefully formed. Look, consider my meditation. Do you think deeply about the words you will express? Do we consider how we pray and what we'll pray for and how we will express them? You don't need a degree. Of course, the heart is more important than even our fluency of speech. But surely it has to be reverent, without presumption. Presumption. The appeal is, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. Look, his prayer would be specifically aimed. I think I've used this phrase. I can't remember if it was here. But there's a saying, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. Now, it's a bit like that in prayer. Notice, verse 3, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Do you aim your prayer specifically? Has our prayer life become, Lord, I'm going to work, bless me, watch over me, keep me. Amen. Oh, look, unto thee, or in the morning, will I direct my prayer. Now, you may not have lots of time in the morning, but here's something that we must do. We must find time and direct our prayers. Think a little more deeply. No presumption. Lord, hear my prayer. It's only for Christ's sake that you will. It's only for Christ's sake and his work that I can even approach you at all. That I can address you as my Father. And wonderfully, I can. As a child of God, launch out into the deep. Take your prayer life, and go out into the depths again. Oh, my prayers don't accomplish much, really. Shame. They've kept you. They've brought you blessing after blessing after blessing. Oh, the Lord gives us more than we have asked him for. Of course he does. But when you have directed your prayer, when you are led by the Spirit, as you depend more on him, and you look and you're more thoughtful and meditative and reflect on what we'll pray for, we'll see the Lord move and bless in commensurate with our reflection and our thoughtfulness and the direction of our praying. We'll pray more for the glory of the Lord than even our own selves. We will always have that attached to our prayers, even if our prayers are for specific help, that you, Lord, might be glorified. My suffering, my pains, my sorrows, help me respond aright, Lord. Take me out into the depths, so that in the depths I learn how to respond to my trials, my difficulties, so that I might glorify you, will become something that's, well, part of the very warp and woof of our praying. Isn't it where the apostle got to? When he speaks of contentment wherever he was, whether that was in a cell, whether he was imprisoned, whether he was hungry, whether he was cold and shivering, as it seems he was. Whether he was oppressed and persecuted, hounded, I've learned to be content in whatever state. How did he get there? Well, it was the knowledge of the Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are depths. Launch out into the deep. I hope you're not contented, as it were, and your bark, your boat is it's not on the shore. No, the Lord's been gracious. He's given us knowledge. It's out. But remember, there are even greater depths out there. There's a big, big ocean. of the glory and the grace and the attributes and the majesty of the Lord Himself. Get lost in the depths of the knowledge of Christ. Then your prayer life will be deep. Everything about us will be deep. We'll be people of depth and substantial, for the knowledge of Christ is soul enhancing. It is mind stretching. It is glorifying to God Himself. Well, back to Luke chapter 5. Notice too, the passage teaches us surely the use of means. I don't need to labour this. I'm sure it's mentioned many times. But the fish weren't going to leap out of the water into the boat. And the Lord could have made them do it, couldn't He? Oh, just stand there, Peter. Let me just show you something. I'll have your boat full in seconds. And those fish could have leapt out of the sea into the boat, into the nets. Just hold your net up on shore. They'll leap into it. He didn't do that. No, Peter, you must be the instrument. You must do something. Launch out into the deep. But we've just put the nets away, Lord. We've just cleaned them down. We've just taken the salt all off. You know, we keep them. That's if Galilee was a salt water sea or lake. But no, Peter, launch out into the deep. The use of means. His labour and the dropping down of the nets. And similar with ourselves. There is a catch. Look, don't give up. Not in evangelism. And I've been sorely tested in that in recent times. Not in evangelism. Not in growth in sanctification, not in understanding the Scriptures and understanding them better and more. No, launch out into the deep. Come before the Lord. He uses means, of course. Then let down the nets, as it were. Well, of course, we'll have to use means. We'll have to use the means He's provided, just as the net was there for the fishermen. Well, in salvation and in evangelism, gospel preaching, that's why your pastor preaches the gospel. He loves to do it, but it's the use of means. Churches are being told, forget the nets. Forget labour and you being involved, as it were. God does that. Just leave it to Him. Well, that's been around for many, many centuries, that kind of reasoning. In sanctification, we have the church all down the centuries of time, again, offered various methods of sanctification. Speed the process up. Oh, you can bypass suffering. You don't want to have to suffer to be sanctified. And negative experiences and testing times. Oh no, you can bypass this. Here's a shortcut to sanctification. Oh, we're being taught something else, even more than that today. And it's this, forget it. You don't really need to be sanctified anyway. Church has been wrong for all the centuries of time. Where it believed and taught sanctification was a progressive process. And the Lord sanctified us through our sufferings, through prayer, through the use of the means of grace, in our service, supremely perhaps. We are sanctified as we are cast more and more on the Lord for His help when we see so clearly our own weaknesses and lack of ability. Launch out into the deep. Look, your Christian life isn't over. There's still a catch out there, Peter. Take your boat and go. Your Christian life hasn't ended. It's not spent. Your best years may not be behind you. There may be something in particular, even as an older person, that the Lord has, if you're prepared to launch out into the deep. Hold on to that. And look, here's a thing as we close, and I'll just say this briefly. You notice in verses 6 and 7, when the Lord had remarkably supplied and provided this miraculous catch, you notice what happened. When they had this done, that is, let down their net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Miraculous catch. But notice, maybe this is a bit of speculation, sanctified, I hope. But you know, the catch was in danger of being lost. They had to call for their partners in the other boat. Do you know, one of the beautiful things about yesterday was to see so many believers in the one place, evidently of one mind. I'm sure there wasn't 100% agreement in everything, of course not, but in the essentials of the faith and the manner of worship, I'm sure the vast majority were of one mind, and the singing was lovely, you know, lovely to see the people even up here and singing to God's praise and glory. And it's lovely where there's harmony and unity. And you know, I think the Lord has a catch still for His people, His church. Maybe He hasn't finished with the UK. And where churches are of one, and there's a unity and a harmony. You have it here in this little fellowship. I'm sure of that. Look, do everything you can to keep that and maintain it, and even make your bonds all the stronger. You see, they had to call for their partners to land the catch. Something that's so beautiful to God Himself, where there is harmony and unity and oneness of mind and heart in the things of God. And you know, Satan, as we know, places having a field day. How he loves to get in there and tear the church apart. When mega egos take over and we lose sight of what our main objective is and what we are to be about, the glory of Christ. The church doesn't belong to people. People are the church, and they belong to Christ. We're His. Keep that unity. Keep that bond. Let no one separate or drive you apart. Come, they said, come and help us land the catch. Their nets were breaking. They hadn't had help. Why, the fish could have gone back into the water. So labor at that unity and that harmony and togetherness. Well, failing or feeble thoughts as they are, I commend them to you as we sing our closing hymn.